Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
And we're kicking off this whole summer soirée, even though it's for the evening, so we probably should have looked at the definition of that. It's okay, we're redefining because that's what us women do, right? And can you give me my iPad, Jules? And you know, I had been praying for summer. I've been asking God, what do you want to do for the girls? And as I had been, you know, listening to people, I'm in a lot of spiritual guidance. I'm in a lot of conversations as a pastor. I probably hear things 10,000 times more intensely than a normal person does. And as I was listening to what God wanted to do, he just simply spoke this to my heart. And he said, I want you to teach the girls the importance of my word. I want you to place a priority on why the Word of God is so important. And so some of you might be here and you've been in the Word your whole life. You've been serving God your whole life. You have the Word memorized. Some of you are new to the faith. Some of you don't understand the power of the Word of God. And you've questioned like, well, you know, this translation and that translation. You could talk yourself out of it. I sit with the greatest theologians, and as you can tell, I'm not very educated. But the bottom line is, no matter how much I sit with them, the simplicity of the word is so real to me because I have the Holy Spirit defining and showing me as I am in my word myself. And so I want to, can you hand me my Bible? Because there's power in the Bible. I know we use our phones, right? We use our phones. And I love my phone. My phone is important. Do I not have my Bible? I brought my Bible. Yeah, I want it, but I wanted mine. Bummer. Okay, so mine's a mess. But yours, Joanna, yours is pretty a mess like mine. I love this. Because I wanted to open up with this. C.H. Spurgeon says, a Bible which is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Woo, come on. And the key victory is, it is written. If you understand how important the Word of God is in your life is going to be very different. And you can live according to what your life gives you and introduces to you daily. Because I'm a mom, and I'll tell you something. I'm a wife. I'll tell you something. I'm a boss. I'll tell you something. Everybody is interrupting my moments of every day. And in those moments, I can either look at what somebody is needing from me or requesting of me or wanting me to answer for them, or I can say, no, my day is going to live according to what my word is putting into my heart. So then when everybody else is coming at me, my day is now focused on the trajectory of what I'm reading out of the Word of God. And so every morning I make time to sit. I will get up at 4 a.m. if I have to. To sit in my word. Why? Because it's so important for me to get the word of God in my heart so that when the world wants to come in and rob all of my joy, rob all of my faith, bring worry and fear and doubt and concern, the word is what my anchor is, and it's my strength for that day. When I don't have it, my husband will say to me, Jess, you have not read your Bible today. And I'm like, well, you are right, and I don't like you. Because I find myself not liking people very much when I don't read my word. I find myself not seeing things the way I should see them through the lens of how God sees them versus how I see them. Because when I see things the way that I see them, guess what happens? It's jacked up, guys. I'm going to see you in your misfortune. I'm going to see you in your brokenness. I'm going to see you through the lens of my brokenness. I'm going to see you through the lens of judgment. But when I put something against the word of God, guess what happens? I begin to see things through the lens and the eyes of what God's word says and not what I expect or what I see. You see, the word is going to be faith building, but the word is not just something that we should take advantage of. Many times you're just flipping through. And that's why I had you go to your index. Because what happens if the internet's down? What happens if you don't have your Bibles? What happens if they start taking that away from us? What happens, girls? I don't want you guys to be like, I don't know how to use the Word of God. I don't know how to find a scripture for myself. Oh, Pastor, God's not in control. But I'm here to tell you, but His Word says that He is in control, that He knows the day and the hour, that He knows all. Why? Because I know what this says, and my Bible is tore up because my God is in control and I got to feed on it day and night. But if you girls are going to sit in your lazy zones and you're going to just allow games to be on your phone and you're going to allow the text messages to come through and you're going to allow the world to steal your time and not put a pressure and not put an importance and not put an advantage for your life on the Word of God, you're going to miss out on all that God is. Because if you don't understand the importance of the Word of God, Satan will come and rob it right out of your heart. And when he does that, he wants to come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus has come, and he has come to bring you the Word. And in the beginning, in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word already existed. In the beginning, are we talking about the beginning of time? Did you know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were present when God was creating the earth? We know God was present. We know the Holy Spirit was present because he was hovering over the face of the earth, is what the Bible says. But did you know Jesus was present? He was the Word. He was the spoken Word that God was speaking over the earth. And then in John 1:1, when he became flesh and he put on flesh, that says that the Word became flesh himself. Isn't that power? There was power in the Word of God. This is the power of God on your behalf. Girls, I don't think we get it. I think we take advantage of it. I don't think we put a priority on it. Because when the Word of God is spoken, every demon in hell runs out of your way. When the Word of God is spoken, every stronghold that has you captured is broken off of your life. When the Word of God is spoken, guess what happens? The enemy has to flee and has to change his direction. And the assignment that's been placed on you is broken off of you. Because why? Because there's power in the Word of God. But so many times I have conversations with church members and their lives are falling apart, and I'll say to them, but what word are you standing on? What scripture are you in for this moment that you're fighting through? I don't know, Pastor. How often do you read your word? How often are you giving attention to that? Oh, well, I don't know, when I come to church. Oh, okay, well, you got to change that because you're in a battle. And girls, I hate to tell you this, but we're in a battle. While we live on this earth, you're constantly in a battle. Satan is seeking whom he may devour, and the only way to ward him off and the only way to fight him off is through the power of the Word of God. And so the Word is going to be your guide in life. I love this verse, and it says, and he existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through him. Everything was created through the Word, and nothing was created except through him, and the Word gave life. Woo! Who needs some life in your life? You've been feeling drained. You've been feeling weak. You've been feeling tired. You've been feeling like, man, I just can't get to that next step. I'm always feeling like I'm just maybe getting there, but I'm not there yet. Well, let me tell you, you need the life of God's Word working in your life. You need to edify yourself in the power of the Word of God. Pull out your black and white and start learning it, girls. Pull it out and start reading it, girls. Pull it out and start memorizing it, girls, because I'm here to tell you it's what's going to change your life. And it says that the life that brought light to everyone. If you're in dark places and you find yourself there, because we all will, you will all find yourself in dark places. There will always be times of mourning, times of anguish, times of pain and sorrow. We are not called to thrive. We are called to be persecuted, girls. We are called to suffer as Christ suffered here on earth. So how do I suffer with joy? That doesn't make any sense. You know how? Because the Word of God is going to strengthen you. Because no matter how much we suffer on this earth, we are strong in Christ Jesus. That means that even though the world may be coming against me and things don't look as if I want them to, I know that I am built on what his word says about me, what his word says about my church, what his word says about your lives, what his word says about the power of Christ working in and through us. You see, all of a sudden, those hard, dry valleys that we find ourselves in become places of fighting, places of strength, places of power. Instead of defeat and sorrow and sadness, we find our joy and our comfort in the words of what Jesus has given us, in the word of God, and they will strengthen you and they will light your path in the dark places. Psalms 119, 1 through 5, and I'm going to read it out of the message because I just thought it said it so beautifully. It says, "By your words, I can see where I am going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path." Isn't that good? "I've committed myself, and I'll never turn back from living by your righteous order. Everything is falling apart on me, God. Put me together again with your word. Adorn me with your finest sayings. God, teach me your holy rules. My life is as close as my own hands, and yet I don't forget what you have revealed. The wicked do their best to throw me off track, but I don't swerve an inch from your course. I inherit your book on living. It is mine forever. What a gift. And how happy it makes me. I consecrate on doing exactly what you say. I always have and I always will." Psalms 119, 105. "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." When you do not know what to do, girls, when your heart is broken, when you find yourself in places of despair, when you just don't know where are you, God? I don't know where you are. Pick up your Bible and begin to read. Begin to read the Psalms. Begin to read the Proverbs. Begin to read Matthew and Paul. They understand where you've been. There's not one person in this word who hasn't been through what you've been through. In fact, they've been through worse, and they still did not curse the name of God. They still stayed faithful in their walk with Christ. And if they could do it, we could do it in the modern day church. We have a mission to preach the gospel and to live our lives out for what God's word is expecting of us. You see, when you don't know what to do, this is the manual for it all. This is your manual for marriage. "Oh, that man, Pastor Jess, he bugs me. I don't like him. He annoys me. Everything he says just gets under my skin." Well, guess what, girlfriend? You got some work to do then. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 31, a man who finds a wife finds a good thing, but that he safely trusts her. Are you a safe place for him to come to? Or have you become like in Psalms, in Proverbs, where it says, "Ooh, that nagging wife is like a dripping faucet." I read a version that said, "Be standing in an attic in a corner than away from a contentious woman." I don't want to be that girl. I want to be somebody that my husband could come to him and pour out his heart with and not be annoyed at what I'm going to do. I'm going to get in my word. I'm going to find out how to love him. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm going to say, "Love is patient. Ooh, I'm not patient with him. Teach me how to be patient, God. Ooh, I'm not kind. I don't want to be kind. I don't like him. I don't want to be kind. Teach me how to be kind, God. Teach me how to do this, because I can't do this on my own. I need you, God." You see, girls, it's okay to not do it. It's okay to not already be there. It's okay to come to God and be like, "I don't know how to do what your word is teaching me to do." And the Holy Spirit's going to say, "Good, your humility in this moment is something I can work with." And he will begin to show you how to become the woman of God you have been called to be. According to what? According to what the world says? No, according to what the word says you can be. According to what the word says you can be. You see, it is a light unto our path. What steps are you going in life? Are you doing things on your own? Are you making your own plans? Are you trying to figure it out on your own? How am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to get this done? How is this insurance going to work for me? How am I going to do all this? And not even inviting God into the conversation, inviting him into the plan, inviting him into the purpose of your life. Because did you know that your life is not your own? But you have been bought with a price. And that you are valuable to Christ. That's what the word says. So if that's the case, then you got to go to the one who created you and say, "Can you show me in your word what to do?" So we as Christians, we have a direction to walk out as a believer. And that the word of God is a light unto our path. Guys, you don't have to do it alone. You've got the word every day in your hand for you to begin to memorize and begin to learn from God. You know, the word of God will teach us how to walk things out. Let me just give you a few things the word of God will teach you to walk out. It will teach you to walk humbly. See, people of God, we are reminded to walk humbly. The children of Israel, in actually go with me to Micah 6 through 8. They were talking to God. And God was reminding them about how he had taken them out of slavery in Egypt. And that the rulers had tried to kill them. And their response to God was this: what can we bring to the Lord? Should we bring him burnt offerings? Should we bow before God our Most High with offerings of yielding calves? Should we offer him thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children and pay for our sins? No, O people, the Lord has told you what is good and what is required of you. See, the word is going to teach us how to walk humbly, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. The word of God will teach you to walk humbly. You say, well, that's not so easy for me. There is a little bit of pride in this girl here. Well, guess what? As you submit and you lower yourself to the freedom of what God wants you to walk in, as you step into what God has for you, there'll be a part and a spirit of humility that will come upon you. And it will no longer be about what your needs are, but it will be about what God's needs are. God's needs are, how do I love my husband? I'm going to be humble in this. God, teach me how to be humble in this. Teach me how to seek your face. Teach me how to hear your voice, God. See, humility isn't putting yourself down, girls. It is actually being totally dependent on God. The word of God will teach you how to be dependent on God. Ready? Number two. The word of God is going to teach you how to walk worthy. What does this mean, walking worthy? What does that even look like? Go with me to Ephesians 1 through 3. It says it's so, and we're just going to get into what the word says about it. Ephesians 1 through 3. I, therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, walk worthy of the calling. How many of you are called? Should be raising your hand. Because if you are daughters of the Most High God, which I believe I do teach you that you are, as your pastor, that you are now called to go out and preach the gospel. You say, no, Pastor Jess, that's your job. No, it's not. My job is to equip you, to teach you, to edify you, to nurture you. Your job is to take what you get and to go out and spread the gospel in the streets, in your homes, in your grocery stores, on your playgrounds, in your kids' schools, wherever you find yourself. Okay? So how many are called here? There you go. That's right. Okay. Which you are called with lowliness and gentleness and long suffering. Ooh, who likes that one? No. How about bearing one another with one another in love? That means putting up with each other and loving each other through it. Yeah, hard. How about endeavoring to keep the unity? Ooh, you don't just get to cut someone off. You don't get to do that. But walking worthy of the call means that we have to pursue love with each other, pursue unity with each other, pursue kindness with each other, pursue forgiveness towards each other. That's walking worthy of the call in the unity, in the bond of peace. How about this? Verse 3, third point. We are to walk with integrity. The word of God teaches us that we can walk with integrity. How many of you feel like you're smart? Okay, that... Now, I'm going to tell all of you right now, raise your hand. All of you, raise your hand. You actually are smart. And let me tell you why. Not because your teacher in school told you you weren't smart. Not because you got good grades in school or not. But because anybody who reads this can become smart. You actually can be a person who is integrous, a person who has integrity, because the more that you read the word, the more that you are getting a download from heaven, and guess what happens? You are now understanding things on a supernatural level, which is far beyond the knowledge of man, but you are getting wisdom from God directly, and so when you begin to learn the word, you are a woman of integrity. So I want you to say, I am a woman of integrity. And the Bible teaches me this. That's right. Okay, so when you are a woman of integrity, we understand that our purpose on this earth is not just for ourselves. But our heart begins to get close to God as we read the word of God. As we get close to God, as we read the word, we long to be with him. I mean, now that my dad is gone, I think all the time about him, and I think, God, what does he get to do up there? I'm just jealous, you know? I'm down here, like, pumping out bills and working all the time. He's up there just praising Jesus, having his good old time, hanging out with all his friends and my grandparents and all the ex-members that have already died. And, like, it's just not fair, you know? I almost get a little bitter. And so, and my mom, too, she's like, I'm just down here taking care of everything while he's up there playing, you know? And it's just like, but if you really think about it, right, there's a longing for all of us to want to be with God. And because we here on this earth long to be with the one who created us, long to be intimate with him, that how do we get intimate? We get to be intimate in his word. When I miss and I think about it, I get to get into his word and I get to get closer to him. I get to have the revelation of heaven open up and I can ask the Holy Spirit, I don't understand this story. Can you teach me what the dry bones means in Ezekiel? Because that's kind of a weird story, God. And he can begin to tell you. Or how about some of those crazy Old Testament stories that are XXX rated and you're like, what? And God's going, oh, listen, there's some broken people. But I work with broken people, and I can do something new through broken people. And he begins to heal your heart. He begins to show you that you're not stupid any longer, but you're actually a person of integrity. And I don't care if you grew up in the projects or in San Bernardino or in a family that didn't speak the right language or if you weren't the right color or whatever the world says about you. I don't care what the world says about you. I'm here to tell you, you are a woman with integrity, because as long as you run after Jesus and you learn what his word says, you are smart, you are precious to him, and your heart desires him, and he desires you. You are desirable, you are beautiful to him. And those that know him intimately, God blesses. Why does he bless them? He brings them home with him. This verse blew my mind, and I didn't even know why I was using it, but I thought it was interesting. Go with me to Isaiah 57, 1 through 2. And it says, the just have perished, talking about people that have passed away, but no one takes it to heart. The steadfast are swept away. Have you noticed the good ones leave early? While no one understands. Why were they taken so early? Because in our foolish thinking, we think this is it. We think being here is so wonderful. But I'm here to tell you, no. They understood. They were closer to God than we were. They were ready. And God was like, all right, let's go. And then it says, yet the just are taken away from the presence of evil. We every day are living in evil here on earth. And he's taking them away from the presence of evil to enter into peace. They rest upon their couches, the sincere who walk in integrity. What? They walk in integrity. You are a woman of integrity, and the closer you get to God, the closer you'll be to him. The sooner you'll be with your maker. People were like, why did Pastor Jim go? Nobody even understood. My father-in-law was 67 years old. He came and served at the FDC that morning. He called me that morning. He was on the phone helping somebody from our school with their computer, and all they heard was, and he was gone. Why did he go? There were so many questions. And when I walked into his house and I saw him dead on the ground, I said to God, what is this? And he said, it was his time. He was ready and I was ready. And I said, I'm backing off. That's between you and him. And I honor that, God. When my mom called me, my dad called me the night before. My mom had already gone to bed. My dad called me the night before, bragging about my brother and all the things that him and Luke talked about and all that God was doing in Luke's life. Told me he loved me. Said, I'll see you tomorrow when I get on that airplane. I said, okay, Dad, I love you too. I'll see you tomorrow. Never saw my dad. My mom didn't even know he passed. That man slipped right in with a smile on his face. I could look at that and I could say, why? You cheated me, God. Why did you take him so early? But no, I'm a woman of integrity. I understand that he's in peace. He no longer has to live in evil. I don't want those men who are wonderful men of God to have to live here in suffering. But they were men of God, people of integrity. And now they are joyful and they are celebrating the king. And they are in the freedom of all that God. And girls, listen, he has it for you too. Get close to Jesus and you don't have to suffer so much here. The closer you get to God in your word, the closer you put God as a priority in your life, you will no longer be taken over by the evil of this world. I watch both of those men be in joy. I watched both of those men in every conversation I had with them at the end of their life. They were full of forgiveness. They were full of love. I would bring them things that bugged me. And one of them, the last conversation I had with my dad, we went to Chinese food. He was like, Jess, how was so-and-so? And I'm like, oh, they're annoying. And he was like, Jess. And I'm like, no, they are. They're annoying. And I miss my dad because I could be that way with him. And he was like, well, you need to forgive them. Well, you need to walk in love. You know, God loves them. And I'm looking at him like, what? You used to go with me there. And he's like, we ain't going there no more. Because he had a new revelation of God's love. And I had never forgotten that conversation. It turned my heart. It changed my heart. I wanted to be more integrous, like the Word of God teaches me to be. You see, we can learn from these places of integrity because the Word will teach us this. Number four. The word will teach us to walk in the light. We can walk in the darkness all you want, which is man's ideas, man's ways, and man's direction. But if you want to walk in the illumination of what God has for you, you got to walk in God's word. God's word, 1 John 1-7, for it, which is in the beginning, which we have heard. And 1 John, which we have seen our eyes. We have looked upon and our hands we have handled concerning the word of life, talking about Jesus. The life was manifested and we have seen and we bear witness to declare that you, the eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with our Father and our Son, Jesus Christ. It's a beseeching right now of having a relationship with Jesus. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. How many of you want to be joyful, even in the midst of trial? Well, the word tells us we can. This is the message that we have heard from him, and we declare to you that the God of light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie. We do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, that the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all of our sins. Isn't that good news? I should get an amen for that word. Thank you, Jesus. That's a great word. You see, the light in this verse represents the presence of God. The presence of God in your life and in my life, which we all need. The presence of God is translated, and the light of God is translated, the face of God. I want the face of God, the light of God, to be on my life. That means I got to get into what God says. I need the face of God every day in my life. I got to put my face into his word so that I can have the light of God reflecting on me. You see, Satan's power is to defeat the work of Jesus in your life. But God has overcome Satan. He has overcome all of his works. He has already overcome the darkness. And the way to defeat him is to remind yourself of what the word says against him. And remember that he is your light and that you don't have to walk in darkness. So when something dark comes your way or comes to your home or comes to your thought process or comes to your heart, what do? You begin to pull out the word and you begin to speak life over it. Begin to speak the power of God over it. Begin to speak the faith of God over your life. The word of God is brilliant. It's a brilliant illumination to the path for your life. Do not do life alone. This right here is gold. This right here, if the internet goes down, I hope that you begin to learn how to memorize some scripture for yourself. If they take our Bibles from us, because did you know that they were passing a bill that anybody who talked against any document or book that talked against homosexuality would be banned from the state of California? Well, guess what? What book is that? Yes, it does talk against homosexuality, not just in the Old Testament, but in the New as well. And so guess what that spirit was trying to do? That spirit is trying to wipe out the Word of God. If it wipes out the Word of God, what are you going to do? Are you going to know it? Is it going to be shut up in your bones? Is it going to be something you can memorize and teach your children? Because the Bible says to teach your children. The Bible says to write it on your forehead, to know it. So girls, we want to challenge you to know the word. Do we have the thing that we have for them? Awesome. Okay, so on each table, we're getting binder clips, but there's these. If you hold them up, these are your, everybody should get one. And we want you to memorize the scriptures that we give you every week. So every time you come to Women Rock AM, we'll give you a new card. And we want you to commit to memory this summer. Memorize during this week and do it with your kids. Do it with your husbands. Why not? These scriptures are not just for women. They're for us as the body of Christ. And so go ahead and use it. They're really cute. They did a really good job. They're so pretty. You know, and so if you want to even add more in the back to memorize, you can write that down too, okay? So every week we will get that to you. Bring your binder clip with you on Thursday mornings, and we'll continue. And you're going to have a big old thick thing of scriptures. So next week I'm going to give you two scriptures to memorize. So you're going to get some from the week before, okay? And so, but this week we are giving you Psalms 1, 2 through 8 in the message. Instead, you thrill to God's word. You chew on scripture day and night. Yes, you're a tree replanted in Eden, bearing fresh fruit every month, never dropping a leaf. I don't know about you, but amen to that. So see, the word is refreshing. So memorize the word for yourself, okay? Oh my gosh, my computer just went hot. Is it humid out here? Is my hair growing? Yeah, my hair is growing. I can feel it. Okay. Last scripture, okay? This one we're going to put to memory, and we'll have this card for you next week. And it's going to be Hebrews 4, 12 through 13. For the word of God is alive. It is powerful. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, and it exposes the innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one whom we are accountable. Isn't that good news? I think Pastor Tracy's going to hit on these things. She's going to be the next one speaking about it, and so we'll be giving you guys those cards. But I wanted to just give you an opportunity, and I hope we whet your appetite for wanting to get back into your word, memorizing the word of God, loving the things of God, being hungry for the things of God. I want to challenge you in the morning, girls, start memorizing these. Okay? Do it with your kids. Do it with your husbands. Do something with your family this summer, and this is just a tool. Write it on, if you guys get dry erase markers, you can actually put them on windows or mirrors. So if you have like a decorative mirror in your house, write the scripture on the mirror so every time you walk by it in a dry erase marker, you can memorize that scripture for the week, okay? And let's put the word to memory. Can we do that together? Awesome. Okay, well, if the table leaders, can you go ahead and talk to the girls about if they do not know the Lord? So if you don't know God and you want to meet him and make him the Lord of your life, your table leaders are going to give you an opportunity. And I want you girls to pray together around your tables, and then we'll let you guys know what's
next. Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.